Yeah, so today we are going to carry on with our study in the book of Ephesians. And yesterday we were able to see how this mystery that Paul has been speaking about, how the Gentiles are brought into unity as members of the body of Christ through the blood of Jesus. And they're given the same access to the Father. You know, the Gentiles were away from the commonwealth of Israel. You know, they're away from the covenants, away from the promise. But you see, God had planned that all nations of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham and his seed. And the seed of Abraham is Christ. Now, how do the nations come into this promise? How do the nations come into this covenant? It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. He had planned to make one new man out of the two. And these two come together and become one new man. And this one new man is in Christ. Because the Bible is telling us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So yesterday we started speaking about this perfectness of this one new man. And one of the, as I said, there are many analogies that are used in Scripture for what God does in Christ. But what we must know is that when we are in Christ, we are his body, he is our head. In the Spirit, Christ is one. And Christ is the church, and Christ is Jesus. Jesus and the church together in the Spirit, we form one new man, and we become, you know, that unity, that one perfect man. And that is the unity that God wants us to know, that we are created in Christ Jesus. You know, there is a rock by him. He told Moses, there is a rock by me, by which a man can, I will put you in, and then I will pass by, and I will declare my name before you. I will cover your face with my hands, and after I go, then you shall see my back. So you can see, that rock is Christ. So Moses was only able to see God when he was included in Christ. There is a rock by me. Now, that rock is Christ. And now what happens is now God includes us in Christ. And the Bible calls it that we are now, our lives are now hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. Now you, when you have come to Christ, sorry, you are not alone. You are not external from Christ. You're not external from God. And that is why when you understand your position as a New Testament believer, when you understand that when he died, you died with him. When you understand that when he was buried, you were buried with him. But he did not stay in the grave. You understand that when he resurrected, you were resurrected with him. Just like if there was a handkerchief and the handkerchief goes everywhere you go, it's the same way we are going everywhere Christ went. And he did not just resurrect alone. He ascended up into glory. And he was seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions. And God has given him a name. There is a name that is above every other name. You see, when you understand that you are also included in Christ, when he is ascending and when he is seated in glory, then you know that you operate from the third heaven, from the highest place in the heaven. And the Bible says, "Sit until I make your enemies your footstool." That means that when you understand where you pray from, it shifts your consciousness. You are not praying from the first heavens, because we many times we think we are down here. But the Bible is telling us, Ephesians 2:6, that we have seated with him in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, every might and every name that is named on this earth and in the world to come. That is to tell you that the moment they have given it a name, we are above it. Why? Because the name of Jesus is a place of authority. You know, the people who go and try and cast out devils and they say, "Oh, I cast you out in the name of Jesus." But you see, they are just speaking the name, but without the revelation. And the revelation is the place of authority where Christ is seated with you, and God knows those who are seated with him. Now, the Bible is telling you that you are seated with him. But you see, if you don't know where the church is, where you are seated with Christ, then you're going to fear wizards, you're going to fear witches, you're going to fear, you know, all these people who program things. But you see, when you know your position, then you make decrees, you rule from that place, and you know that they are under your feet. That's why he told his disciples, "Behold, I give you power to tread over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Whether he comes with different kinds of designs, we are given power to tread over them. That means when you're treading over something, they are under your feet. They are under your feet. They can try, they can do whatever they want, but we do not give them a foothold. We do not give them a chance, but we make decrees from our side. So it's very important to understand where we are, where we are positioned in Christ. And that is why also, as we concluded chapter 2, we're able to see that we are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, whenever we speak of the foundation, remember God, when Jesus was on the earth, he did not, the first people that he ensured that he left on the earth were apostles. Why? Apostles are those that are sent. They are those that are sent to establish new work. Prophets are those who speak to us the mind of God. They are able to hear the mind of God. They are able to tell us the mind of God. And they are able to build people. You can think of Antioch. When the church was established, the Bible says there were many prophets, that Barnabas and others came and prophesied to the people. And he went and looked for Saul. And for over a year, they prophesied. They taught the people. They encouraged the people. And that is the place where the people were called first Christians. Why? Because they behaved like Christ. They spoke like Christ, and people called them. Now, these ones are Christians. Why? Because they were taught. They were taught. So when the church is being established, it is established on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. If a church is to be established, God will send either an apostle or a prophet to a land because he has given them the grace. I mean, all this members of the body of Christ have their unique functions. The evangelist is a proclaimer. He goes and announces the gospel, but then there are those that build the church. They're those that build the church, and the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's why he said he has appointed first apostles, then prophets, then pastors, then teachers, then those that have gifts of healing. And there is an order to which God does things. And many of the times, all these are offices that are given by the giftings of God. It is God that gifts of men. And apostles, prophets, these are gifts of men. Even they themselves know that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, in whom the, and Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The purpose of being a building, or the analogy of the building, is that we are the house of God. When you think of us, all of us collectively, you know, that's why I said there are different analogies that I use. There's the analogy of the one man, or in united in Christ. There's the analogy now of the house. And this is what Paul speaks about here. Even Peter speaks about it, that we are lively stones being built into the house of God. When you think of John the Revelator, he speaks of the holy Jerusalem, the city coming from God, that you know that is cubed and cubed and cubed, all this number of cubits and all these precious stones. And that is telling you that each and every one of us are unique in our beauty, that in the Spirit we are brought into union with Christ. That is why we keep saying we are united with Christ. When the church fully understands their authority, where they are united, their placement in the heavens, then they operate from authority. And the Bible says he is ready to fulfill every disobedience when our obedience is complete. The reason why things disobey us is because we have not yet completed our obedience. But when your obedience is complete, when God, every instruction, when the instructions that He desires of us, we complete them, then the Bible says He is ready to punish all disobedience. Why? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty unto God for the demolishing of strongholds. So in the spirit, we are a dwelling place of God, individually, but also collectively. So always remember that individually, yes, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God stays in you. But also collectively, we are a holy temple. We are the host of God. God dwells in us and we are in Christ. We are united as a new man in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 tells us, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, and how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power." And then he says, verse 8, "To me, whom am the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, for which is your glory." Now, I want you to understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that, and you see, he says, "the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." And that's why we understand that the book of Ephesians is one of the prison epistles, is one of the last books that he writes. And he's writing it in prison, and he's telling them that, look here, I am one of the prisoners of Jesus Christ. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I am in prison for the sake of the gospel. And he's trying to tell them that you have understood, you now know by now that there is a gift that was given to me. There's a dispensation of the grace of God. That means that God gives each and every one of us a uniqueness in the gospel. That is why you don't find every apostle being the same. There is a uniqueness that God, or every minister being the same, or every Christian being the same. Why? Because there is a uniqueness. There is a distinction that each and every one of us, that God gives us, that is a dispensation of the grace of God upon our lives. And that is a blessing of God, that God makes us unique. God has the capacity to deal with you as you, to give you a unique grace, a unique element, that there is a unique place where you are established in favor, you are established in God, you are established in authority. There is a scepter that God gives each and every one of us, that when we understand it, when we walk in it, when we know, what you know is what you possess. What you know is what you can establish in authority. And that is why Paul says that he knows that there's a dispensation of grace that was given to him by revelation. And he says, by revelation, God revealed to him this mystery. What was this mystery? That Gentiles were also in the plan of God to be included in Christ along with the believers, along with the Christian, the Jews who believe. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And God brings a unity of the Gentiles according to the gospel which he preached, which is the gospel of grace. And he says, this is my revelation in the gospel. You can see Paul is very humble to say that this is the level that I have understood it. That means it is not the end. And that's why he said that there are unsearchable riches of Christ. That means that the Spirit still has so much to reveal to us that if we dig deeper into him, he is also able to release a mystery to us. That's why the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But the Lord has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That means that when we come to the things of the Spirit, there are things that God is able to release dispensations, is able to release graces that are available for you, just that will not impact you now, but even the ages to come. Think of it, 2,000 years later, we are still reading Paul. We are still trying to understand this man that laid the foundation. That's why he says that I, like as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation of the gospel and everyone else will build on it. So we all come now to add on to the building. But one of the mysteries that God revealed to him is the unity, that this was hidden, that it has not been revealed by the Holy Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. That means you and I who are Gentiles, we are partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. And he says, this of which he became a minister of according to the gift of grace. And he says he considers himself, he's not among those that saw Christ. I mean, that were there when Christ was on the earth. In fact, he says, I consider myself one born out of due time. But you see, even though I am the least of all the saints, grace was given to him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I think Amplified puts it, the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. That means there is a depth of Christ. There is a depth of Christ that even no man can search. And the Bible says this was a plan of God to reveal to principalities and powers. What is it? The manifold wisdom of God by the church. You see, whenever we speak today, whenever we preach today, do you know the principalities and powers are hearing to even understand God? Because to them, they can't see God. They just worship. They see the majesty of God. They worship. They bow. But now you see, when they listen, it is the church that is teaching, that is revealing to the principalities and powers. The principalities and powers, they could not understand how God dwells in man. But in man, in the church, in the believers, we demonstrate, we teach them, they now understand grace. Because to them, they only knew one thing. When you mess up, it is judgment. When the devil sinned, he is judged. And that is why, since he only knows God as a judge, he comes to God as the accuser of brethren. But you see, in man, there is a manifold wisdom of God that God revealed, which is grace, which is forgiveness. The demons, the powers, the principalities, they don't know forgiveness. That's why to them, the angels, when you disagree with what they say, they tell you, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. You are judged. You shall be silent. But you see, they look at man and they're like, how? What is this multifaceted? What is this fellowship of the mystery that God had hidden? The Bible says, he accomplished it in Christ Jesus our Lord. And by that, we are given access. We are given access with confidence through faith in him. So, Paul tells them, do not lose faith. That's all this, everything, the mystery is hidden in Christ. Gentiles, Jews, those that have believed come to be united in Christ, and we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all dominions. And that is a place where we pray from. That is a place where we make decrees. That is a place where we exercise authority and we speak to creation. We speak to nature. We speak to bones that are broken. We speak to businesses that are dying. We speak to our bodies that are suffering. We speak to our families and we speak life. Why? We are speaking it from a throne. Our Father is a speaking God. He spoke things and things came to be. Likewise, we too, with the same spirit of faith, we speak and they must obey. They must obey. They should obey. That is the spirit by which God has given us. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. And brothers, you are welcome.
Thank you so much, Doc. I think it's quite clear and straightforward that it is by grace that we have been saved. We're not part of the, when the, you know, the Jews, I'm reminded during the first church, some of the apostles, there was a bit of resistance to move out, but God had to use persecution so that at the end of the day, his will, that the gospel is spread to all, including the Gentiles, is accomplished. Yeah. So thank you for that reminder and encouragement.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Indeed, it's great to see Paul share his experience. The relentless is a prisoner. He never relents, he never gives up on fulfilling the purpose and the calling of God. I think it's a great encouragement to all Christians that persecution should not be in any way an impediment in our ability to serve. We see Paul clearly also stating that, you know, he's trying to tell, I think, the Ephesians there that, look, God chose me, God called me to do this. And he's doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. He acknowledges that he was the least among them. You know, that means it doesn't matter your status, be it Gentile, be it Jew, be it whatever you are. God does not look at that. It's only human beings that look at status. But God sees us as children, chooses us for the purpose of which he has called us. So we should never look back and say, no, I'm not worth it. We are all worth it when the time comes and God has called us to serve for his purpose. We should be ready to offer ourselves. And characters such as Paul encourage us that despite of our past, despite of the mistakes and the lives we've lived in the past, despite of our social status and placement, it does not speak in any way in our inability to be used by God. We are as blessed as anyone else for as long as we are ready to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are ready to toe and walk the path and to fulfill that purpose. God will always give us the grace to do so. So thank you very much, and we are blessed with this teaching.
Amen. Amen. Indeed, he calls himself me, the chief of sinners. I was given this dispensation by grace. Wow. That means God can give you a dispensation. He can give you, you know, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Oh, for me, that just challenges me. And I pray that God will give us something that goes beyond our years. Not just the house to build or some land and farms, but there's something that we can give to the next generation. You can think of David. David gave a covenant to his generation that they shall never lack a man on the throne. May God help us to see beyond our time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the mysteries that you revealed that the Gentiles are included in Christ, and you had planned it before the ages, before the time, to include each and every one of us that believes to be our partakers of the same promise, partakers of the same covenant, partakers of the same access to the Father boldly by the Spirit. And you have brought us into unity in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that we are united in Christ. We are one with you. You have made us. You've given us wisdom, authority, and Father, from which we speak, we rule, we make decrees. And today we speak life. We speak life of ourselves. We speak life of our bodies. We speak life of our families, of our children. We speak life of our workplaces. We speak life of our nations. We speak life over everything that concerns us, O God, that this nation, our nation, shall be blessed. They shall hear the word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord shall speak life. We honor you. We give you glory. Bless our day. Go ahead of us. Touch those that are unwell. May your presence establish and be with us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed morning.